presented by DogNation.com. This is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. Here's your host, Brandon Adams.
So I have to admit something off the top of the program here. I'm in kind of a bad mood about something today, and this is not exactly the kind of feeling, the mood I expected to have, because if you go back and listen to yesterday's show, I feel like, you know, all things being equal, I was pretty positive about the Georgia, who was it they played? Murray State game. I feel like I was pretty positive about all that. I was entertained by it. I love seeing all the freshmen play. Obviously, my man George Pickens has a big performance, so you know I'm kind of getting down with that. I didn't really mind the slow start all that much. I think we have a tendency to make too much of things like that from time to time. I mean, overall, I thought it was kind of a pretty good game, and I even said on yesterday's show that through two games, I kind of think Georgia is on schedule for where we need it to be as a program when it heads to its most important game, starting September 21st against Notre Dame, and then kind of everything that's going to happen after that. I felt like Georgia's kind of on schedule. So I was in a pretty good mood, pretty good feeling about all of that stuff. And then you wake up here on this Tuesday morning and realize that now, as a show, as a fan base, as a program, we got to do all of this again. You know, it's not Notre Dame on Saturday. That's 2 weeks from now. It's not road trip to Tennessee. That's, what, 4 weeks from now after the bye week? You know, all these other games that are going to get more attention, more discussion, more just intense focus, at least from the fan base. The team should be equally focused for all these games. All of that's to come. This Saturday, it's like team you never heard of one more time. It's Arkansas State once again. And listen, you know, Kirby Smart, I'm going to take him at his word when he talks about some of this kind of stuff. But for the average fan, me included here, I do think you have to admit that a week after doing all this for, you know, Murray State out of Kentucky, doing all this again for Arkansas State is just a little bit of a tough sell for Dog fans. But nonetheless, Kirby Smart tried to make his case yesterday that y'all don't sleep. This may be actually a pretty good football team. Here is Kirby Smart on that topic.
Yeah, I want to make mention that this is a really, really good football team. Do a tremendous job offensively and defensively, and you could see that last night right when we flipped the page to look at them. They've got some really good defensive players, explosive, quick, leading their conference in a lot of categories. I got a lot of respect for their quarterback. They've got the best wideouts and skill guys we've probably faced when it comes to combination of three or four really good receivers, experienced group up front, a lot of returning guys. They've got a couple transfers that are really good players. So when you watch them, they jump off the tape at you and explosive offensively, defensively, and special teams. So, you know, Blake's done a tremendous job with this team, this program. We know what he's had to go through and got a lot of respect for him and what he's been through and how he's pushed through it. So a lot of respect for this team. It's a really, really good opponent. With us kicking off at 12 o'clock, we got to get our minds right and get ready to play.
So on a serious note, obviously he references Blake Anderson, the Arkansas State coach, and it was just terrible news not too long ago. We found out that his wife had passed away, and I know a lot of Georgia fans are planning ways in which to honor him and show support for him, because let's face it, you know, that's just the kind of thing that we can't even wrap our mind around. So that's obviously a serious part of this, and Kirby Smart references that there. But go back to the football part of this for a moment. You know, really the only word that I hear from that entire kind of statement from Smart is at the end when he says, oh yeah, by the way, this overmatched, anonymous opponent, Georgia's also going to play them at noon as well. Do y'all have any idea how hot it's going to be at Sanford Stadium on Saturday at noon? It was like 100 degrees this past Saturday. My guess is temperatures aren't going to be much cooler this week as well. And instead of the 4 o'clock kick, where you at least got the sun kind of tucking in behind a cloud a little bit, hopefully at noon, that thing is straight overhead, shining right down on those aluminum bleachers. It is going to be really hot. But nonetheless, you know, Kirby is right when he says that in terms of the overall opponent you might be playing, this is a better kind of nondescript team than you might could have played. I mentioned this on Sunday. I mentioned this on Twitter. This team blew out UNLV this past weekend, came within a touchdown of beating SMU before that. Kirby mentions the quarterback. I think their quarterback is Dusty Bonner, the old Kentucky quarterback. I think that's his son that's the quarterback for Arkansas State. Y'all can check my math on that, but I'm pretty sure the old Kentucky quarterback, Dusty Bonner's son, is the quarterback for Arkansas State. They have put up some points. They've had, you know, kind of an explosive offense. But this is the kind of thing that for Georgia fans, it's just a little bit hard to get excited about, knowing that 2 weeks from now you got Dog Nation Express, you got the Fighting Irish coming in, you got all that kind of stuff taking place. A lot of Georgia fans would love nothing more than hit the fast forward button and get ready for the games that are going to really matter starting next Saturday with one of the most anticipated Georgia home games in quite some time. But this is where Kirby, being a good coach, and he does have a job to do here. He can't do what we all want to do, which is start looking ahead. He can't do stuff like that. And if he were to hear us kind of starting to look a little bit ahead to what's going to happen on Saturday, September 21st, he'd pump the brakes on that pretty fast. In fact, here's what Kirby said yesterday about their desire not to look past the, is it the Red Wolves of Arkansas State? The Red Wolves of Arkansas State, Kirby again.
We just don't look past today. I mean, that's the thing, is if you're focused on today and getting better at us, and I think when these guys turn on the tape like we did last night, we don't ever lie to our players. We just say, hey, this is what it is, and here it is for you to see. You be the judge. And we did that last week. We're going to do that this week. The tape speaks for itself this week. These guys are a really good football team. And y'all are all sitting there saying, yeah, right, whatever. This team has a really good football team. They got a really good quarterback. They got good wideouts. They've got explosive players on defense, all conference players all over the place in a conference that I got a lot of respect for.
So from that standpoint, I actually think Kirby Smart is really telling the truth in terms of your, you know, Georgia's a 30-point favorite. Last week was nearly a 50-point favorite. So that kind of gives you an idea of how Vegas views this game. This is a more challenging game, a little bit, a step up in competition in comparison to what Murray State would have been, but still a far cry from what you're going to get next Saturday against Notre Dame. And then the assumption might be, well, that means this army of analysts that Kirby Smart employs, the gigantic football complex that's filled with people working 24 hours a day, that a few of them, given the fact that Georgia is such a large favorite against Arkansas State, and despite the fact that Arkansas State's good for its own conference, that doesn't necessarily mean it's good in comparison to Georgia. Maybe there might be a little bit of looking ahead to Notre Dame. Well, Kirby Smart absolutely threw water on that. Now, the audio quality on this one, we've had kind of a weird adventure this week when it comes to audios and various things around Athens. The audio quality on this one's not perfect, but you hear Kirby Smart absolutely clarifying exactly what it means to keep your focus on where it needs to be and not looking ahead to the game that we as fans are all paying attention to, Notre Dame. Here's Kirby again.
No, nobody in our building is going to be working on Notre Dame this week. We won't have anybody working on Notre Dame this week. That's not our focus. I got too much respect for this team and too much respect for how they play. We're not working on Notre Dame this week.
To be honest with you, that was even worse than I thought it was going to be. I apologize for that. So hopefully I didn't blow your ears out. But you hear Kirby Smart there say, we are not going to be looking ahead in Notre Dame. Now, this situation with Georgia is not exactly unique. I mean, Alabama coach Nick Saban kind of wrestled with some of this same stuff going back to this past Saturday against New Mexico State, a team that he blew out. And, you know, fans are just kind of getting bored and kind of tired with this stuff. And around here, while we are admittedly not Nick Saban fans, not Alabama fans, I was happy to hear him at least for 1 week give a voice to the feeling of the average fan who says, give me a lot more Georgia versus Notre Dame and a lot less of Georgia versus Arkansas State. I think Saban, even though he's the arch nemesis for Georgia fans in many respects, actually speaks on behalf of Georgia fans when he fired back at a question regarding his team playing the Aggies of New Mexico State this past Saturday. Let me let you hear Nick Saban on this point.
I've talked about this before. All right, so we try to schedule the best teams that we can schedule, and we're trying to do that in the future as well. But we can only play the people who are willing to play us. I've said my opinion about playing 12 Power 5 schools. That's what I would rather do. So, but a lot of other people don't agree with that. I'd rather play 10 SEC games and then play two other Power 5 schools. So all the games are exciting for the fans. All the games are good football. You wouldn't have to go undefeated to get in the playoffs because you'd play a more quality schedule. I've been through and covered that ground 100 times. So do I think we can get better in games like this? I do. If you approach the game right and you practice the right way and you prepare and you have the right focus and you play to your standard, you can get better playing anybody. Would I rather play other teams? No disrespect to New Mexico State. Their coach works hard. Their players played hard. But if it's my philosophy that we should play 12 Power 5 schools, I'd say the answer to that would be yes. But that's a philosophical answer. All right, and that's not the way it is. All right, so I don't know why you would ask me that question, as if I could do something about it, when I can't do anything about it. So we're playing the best teams that we can get to play us. Why don't you start calling around and see if you can get somebody else to play us, and we'll play them. We'll play anybody you can get to play us.
So it's pretty rare for me to agree with 100% of anything anyone says, especially Nick Saban, but I almost completely agree with his entire rant there, that it would be better if teams played on a more consistent basis week to week, just better, more interesting games. Now, I'm not going to criticize UGA for this, because when you look at the work that Kirby Smart and his staff have done in years to come, the Clemsons, the Texases, the Oklahomas, Georgia's done its work to schedule some big-time non-conference opponents. It's just that for now, for the next few years, fans are forced to wait a little longer. So Georgia's doing its part to change the landscape of college football and make more interesting non-conference games the norm instead of the exception. But for right now, we're still living in the old world. Georgia will be focused, and I'm sure it'll come out and play well on Saturday. But you can't expect the average fan to be all that excited about the game. My name is Brandon Adams, and this is Dog Nation Daily, the daily podcast for Georgia Bulldogs fans. We are presented today by Deamer Box, and we're really glad to have you with us, no matter how you get to us. Live on video, 10 a.m., Dog Nation Facebook, YouTube, Twitter. We're on the radio at noon, of course, on Athens Sports Radio 960 The Ref. And we're on the podcast forum, wherever you find them, Apple Podcast Player, the Google Podcast Player, the world-famous DogNation.com. Just really, really glad to have you with us. As I said before, Deamer Box brings the show to you. Now, many of you have seen us talk about Deamer Box on video. Some of you, though, have listened in on the podcast, the radio, and you don't quite know what it is. Well, let me see if I can explain this. This is like the perfect thing you have for your tailgate. It's like an outdoor Bluetooth speaker, but it also kind of works also as kind of an indestructible, and I do mean this. This thing is solid as a rock. Pelican carrying case, so, you know, when it's raining or when you got stuff that you don't want to get messed up, you can put your stuff inside the Deamer Box, but also you got the Bluetooth speaker that is very, very impressive. Battery life on this thing's 40 hours. The Bluetooth range on this is like 100 feet, so it's a really, really an incredible, incredible tailgate apparatus. You can go to DeamerBox.com/DogNation to order yours today. It's DeamerBox.com/DogNation. You got to remember that. You got to get in there, and they got a great offer right now for Dog Nation Daily listeners and viewers. It's DeamerBox.com/DogNation. It's $50 off the first 100 people to order. Now, we've already had a few people going back to last week who've already gotten in and maybe gotten their order, but the first 100 to take advantage of this, get $50 off the Deamer Box. It's promo code DogNation, DeamerBox.com/DogNation. It's great to have Deamer Box, a part of Dog Nation Daily here today. Now, let me take care of one more piece of business here as well, and that is our Dog Nation Express. Now, I've been telling you for a while that our Dog Nation Express sold out in like 2 seconds. It was very, very quick. We have completely sold out on that. But the good news, though, is that we were able to negotiate with our tailgate company. We were able to kind of look at our space, and we have kind of reconfigured some things and moved some things around. We can make room for more people at the tailgate. Now, the bus is sold out. I can't do anything about the bus. The bus is sold out. But we have reconfigured the tailgate to get more people in for this luxury tailgate experience, which includes food and beverage and, you know, TV showing the other big games leading into the action there on Saturday. This is going to be an incredible tailgate experience. Next Saturday, September 21st, the Dog Nation Express tailgate. The bus is sold out, but you can be a part of the tailgate. Many of you are already going to be in the Athens area anyway, and you wanted to just find out about coming to the tailgate. The good news is while supplies last, and I got room for a few more, we opened this up to the people who were on the waiting list last night, and a lot of them have already jumped in and gotten these tickets. We have a couple spots left, more than a couple, but it's not like endless supply either. You can go to DogNationExpress.com, and you can get in on that. So there's a couple spots left, a little bit of opportunity for you. It's DogNationExpress.com, and you can be a part of our big Dog Nation Express luxury tailgate next Saturday before the big one in Athens, one of the most anticipated home games in quite some time, and you can be a part of it. I'm running a little bit late on time here, so I may have to do some of this now and some of this later on, but there is at least one aspect of the game on Saturday I'm pretty excited about, and that's seeing more of the guy we talked a lot about yesterday, which is wide receiver George Pickens. As I said, the thing that makes Pickens both interesting and valuable to me right now is not only his skill set, but the way his mentality as a player, his willingness to be physical, it fits in really well to what Georgia wants to do offensively. Well, our buddy Connor Riley had a chance to ask Kirby Smart about that yesterday, and Smart went into more detail. Let me let you hear a little bit of Kirby on George Pickens before we talk to Jeff Sintel.
Oh, he has a long way to go as a blocker. He had a good block the other day, but he's not our best blocker. I mean, he does a lot of other things well. What I've enjoyed is his willingness to block and to grow as a blocker. He's out of control on a lot of blocks. He thinks every block he's going to be able to go knock them out, and he's got to learn that they see him coming. He's not invisible, so he has to do a good job position block and fit up, sustain blocks, and not go for the big hit all the time. But his willingness to do it is what's allowed him to play to this point, because when he's willing to do it and he knows who to block, he's pretty good.
Yeah, so listen, as I said before, you know, we saw the breakout performance in terms of the big catches from him on Saturday, but it's that willingness to be physical. Not a perfect player yet, still a guy that's got a lot to do to fully fulfill, you know, his potential at UGA, but a guy who through two games is showing you kind of everything you want to see. And for what it's worth, that's not the only impressive freshman from Saturday that Kirby Smart talked about. Later on in our program, I'm going to let you hear a little bit more from Smart talking about a guy on the other side of the ball, Nolan Smith. But speaking of Pickens and Smith and all the others, these are guys that Jeff Sintel's been recruiting, covering on the recruiting trail for a long time. And he wrote about them this past week in his freshman report as well for DogNation.com. So let's talk to him about those guys and a few other things as well here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Diemerbach, as we do our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update. And it's great to have you with us as part of our program.
From Athens and across the SEC or wherever the recruiting trail may lead, here's a DogNation.com insider.
So, yeah, I thought one of the interesting takeaways from Saturday was the performance of Pickens on offense, the performance of Nolan Smith on defense, and a few of the other freshmen who found an opportunity to get involved in the game. We'll talk to Jeff Sintel about a lot of that as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Diemerbach here today. And, Jeff, if you don't mind, before we kind of get into the stuff that happened on the field on Saturday, couldn't help but notice in our forum at forum.dognation.com a little bit of chatter in your Sintel hurry up intel about some stuff going on with Rick Gilbert right now, some confusion about when he might be taking an official visit to Georgia. Is there anything you can provide to kind of clear that up, or is this one of those just unknowns right now, like a lot of things seem to be when it comes to Gilbert and his UGA relationship?
Brandon. Good morning, sir. Good morning, everybody out there, by the way. I'm going to start this conversation off with a punch in the jaw, perhaps. But I think with Gilbert, the word is out there that he is not going to be at Georgia for the Notre Dame game. That might be the only five-star within, within a 3-9 state radius that won't be at that game. He wants to take his official visit to Georgia for the Kentucky game. But we do still expect Todd Hartley to welcome five-star athlete Donnell Washington and four-star tight end Theo Johnson to that contest.
So obviously you and I have gone round and round about, you know, how Gilbert might feel about Georgia and kind of Georgia's chances possibly being better with Washington and Johnson. I don't necessarily want to retrace those steps too much here, but I guess I am curious about one thing, and this may not be known. If it's not, that's fine. Is this an issue where Gilbert thought better of this date and thought later in the season would be better for him? Or was this an issue where Georgia didn't want to have three tight ends on campus at the same time?
Wow, I would imagine the real answer, Brandon, is a little bit of all those things. I don't know how many of folks out there watch our weekly Before the Hedges program, but I think Gilbert has been trending in a certain direction for a month or two now, at least from this vantage point. And what's that phrase we use a lot that Kendall Milton introduced us to? There's a top two. I don't think Georgia would be among his core contenders at this time.
Yeah, no, that's fair to say. And, you know, a lot of people know that I do this show from the perspective of a fan, and I've told you both on and off the air that my perspective on this is, and Matt Rukavina said this in our Facebook comment section, that you hate to see Georgia potentially losing out on an in-state talent. And while I've kind of, you know, been through that feeling and that thought and that emotion, overall, I've grown to have enough respect for Theo Johnson, grown to certainly have enough respect for Darnell Washington, who certainly doesn't seem to be tiring of his relationship with Georgia. I've grown to like, you know, those guys enough as a fan here that I don't know that I'm shedding quite as many tears over Gilbert as I once would have. Now, I still think that he is a rare talent, even among other rare talents. I think he's a terrific football player, and I do believe it's going to be an L for Georgia if he goes somewhere else, just because I think that he just shows out and plays very well every time I've seen any kind of video of him. But I don't think that Darnell and Theo take too much backseat to really much of anyone, so I've kind of made my peace with this. If Georgia is farther down the road with Theo and Darnell, it's not like those guys are not, you know, prime time prospects in their own right.
Yeah, well, I think this current conversation to me calls to mind some maybe 80s movies I saw growing up where a young girl's heart was broken and the mother just says, you know, there are plenty of fish left out in the sea. But there are plenty of other five-star tight ends and elite tight ends left out in the sea. And I think the main thing here is, you know, I know there's the tendency to want to get them all and sign them all, especially an in-state recruit like Eric Gilbert, and that's fair for those that feel this way, but when you think of a certain five-star receiver that got away and you see that five-star wide receiver that Georgia ended up with, I think most Georgia fans are pretty happy with that trade-off right now, and I think that maybe the main thing to think about there is, with any position, is Georgia getting a person that upgrades the talent level in the room considerably? Check mark. Do those guys have NFL upside? Check mark. Do those guys allow the offense to grow and expand in a different way? Check mark. Now, it might not be the ideal suitor you have in mind, but folks, I mean, Mr. Johnson and Mr. Washington, should they choose to play for the University of Georgia, Georgia will be quite fine in the tight end department for years to come.
Hey, let me keep the focus on this topic for one more second before we move on. And I mean this in all seriousness, even though we've kind of joked about this a lot. So Georgia really did throw to the tight ends a good bit on Saturday. Eli Wolf in particular had something of a breakout performance. He's a better offensive weapon, at least by evidence of the Murray State game, than I kind of assumed that he probably would be for UGA. Does that really help with Darnell Washington? Does that really help with a guy like Theo Johnson of when you see Georgia utilizing tight ends in that way, especially Johnson's case, because these Big Ten teams who are pursuing him do kind of for the most part have a history of throwing to tight ends a little bit more than some of these SEC teams kind of have a tendency to do. When Georgia uses tight ends the way that it did on Saturday, does that really help, or is that the kind of thing that recruiting observers just like to kind of pontificate about, I guess?
Landon, it certainly helps. I think this is an example of Georgia saying what they mean and meaning what they say and then putting it out on film. I've got to brag on some of our folks in our Dog Nation forum. We started a new thread for those that can't get enough film study, can't get enough X's and O's. I think there's a clear example here of what Georgia has said they would do with the flex end position. There are a couple plays there that one of our loyal members has broken down and shown where Eli Wolf is, you know, everybody's going to see the 474. They're going to think, okay, those weren't stick routes for the tight end. But what it is, especially in the perimeter run game, is Georgia is evolving the tight end into that flex end where Eli Wolf on a lot of those plays or Charlie Warner on some of those plays is flexed out as a blocker. And what they tried to do with the way the line fired off the ball and kind of the eye candy they gave the defense to show man in motion means zone, man in motion where he draws a defender or gets passed off means man. And that allowed a couple of early shots, one to James Cook for the first play of the game, a second one down the road for Demetrius Robertson, which didn't go well because the defense went all in to try and smash that play before it got downfield. But those two plays, Brandon, that early action allowed the setup for the big shot downfield for George Pickens later on in the game by moving those safeties around.
Make sure to check out the Marlowe's Tavern right there in your neighborhood for dinner and drinks with a side of people watching. Boy, there's no better place to do that, especially when we head towards that patio time of year where you're sitting out there enjoying yourself a little appetizer, a little dinner, craft cocktails. It's a perfect choice. The Marlowe's Tavern closest to you is always a great decision. And if you don't mind, let me also add that how about you try to get yourself over to Peachtree Corners next Thursday for our first Marlowe's Tavern broadcast of the 2019 season. We're going to do the Marlowe's matchup with myself and the former UGA All-American John Stinchcomb from the Marlowe's in Peachtree Corners starting at 6 p.m. next week. That's Thursday, September 19th. Let me give you the address. It's 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners. 5210 Town Center Boulevard, Peachtree Corners. our first Marlowe's Tavern broadcast and get together at this particular Marlowe's Tavern. I know it's been a red-hot location. Peachtree Corners is really popping. And so it's a great time for us to kind of hang out, get together, and get ready for the big one next Saturday against Notre Dame. Jeff, on the subject, though, of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update for now, let me go back to what you wrote at DogNation.com over the weekend, looking at the freshman report. And I want to get, you know, a few names kind of mentioned in here, both the guys that may have gotten missed by some, also the headliners there as well. I'm sure you're not surprised to know that I've talked a lot the last couple of days about George Pickens. Jeff, I just think that when you see the athletic skill set that he put on display, whether it be the touchdown that he scores, you know, the leaping grab, the, you know, not necessarily a one-handed catch, but certainly showing the strength to be able to, you know, deal with a would-be tackler while also holding the football with one hand. This is a rare athlete for George at the wide receiver position. And to add to that, the fact that he's absolutely willing to kind of get in there, mix it up, and be physical, I think this is the missing piece, the piece that's been missing from Georgia for a while. One of the reasons why I am more confident about Georgia's ability to win a national championship now than I have been, I think, over the last couple of seasons is because I see this potential extra dimension at the wide receiver position. I don't want to make too much of the fact that it was just Murray State on Saturday, but there's a certain element of what Pickens displayed, both the tangible and potential intangible qualities, that I think translates versus, you know, virtually any opponent. What did you make of what Pickens did?
Well, you know, when I put together the freshman report, I tried to really be mindful of the jingling keys, because, man, Pickens puts together some exclamation point plays, but as Kirby Smart noted in his Monday press session, that some of those blocks, you know, they're kind of overshot, they're kind of, his feet aren't with him, he's kind of not coming with the best technical sense on his block, but make no mistake about it, he's a dedicated and willing blocker. And when I was, you know, one of the things I try to do every week is I try to give out a game ball or something in the freshman report. Sometimes I call it the most valuable freshman, the MVF. And it was really hard this week because you saw all those flash plays with Pickens, which will, I believe, earn him down the road when these games hit FCC stretch, will earn him number one type coverage and attention from FCC coordinators. So Pickens had all that. And I remember your fun line, Brandon, that I would trade everything I have for just a little bit more. And what this is with Pickens and Smith is you had Smith, who had his own exclamation point games in his own right by getting to the quarterback, bull rushing guys, you know, getting to the passer, harassing guys, creating havoc. But he had the more technically sound all-around game with no procedure penalties, no unsportsmanlike, and just always just trying to deliver what the coaches say when they call him smart, they call him tenacious, they, you know, play like his hair is on fire. I think that's what Smart used this past weekend. And I put Pickens and Smith, and maybe Blaylock's in this conversation a little bit too, but Pickens and Smith definitely are in that rare group of freshmen who have flashed immediately for Georgia under Smart. You go back to names, I think there's only three. There's DeAndre Swift, there's Jake Fromm, and there's Andre Thomas. Those are the guys to me that just immediately came in with that ballyhooed status and immediately started putting down game film in reflection of all that hype. And, you know, I'd love to get some sodium pentothal in your arm, Brandon, and get you to give me a true answer to this question. If you would rather have the SEC's leading receiver or the SEC's leading sacker on this team, which one would you choose first?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, both those areas are issues that Georgia needs the tremendous upgrade in. I think Georgia gets very interesting if you could put a big-time receiver, you know, 1,000-yard type guy with the, you know, with the offenses already in place. You know, for me, the sacks can be more about done by committee, so I don't need one guy to step up and dominate there the way that it's nice to have a big-time star emerging wide receiver core. But both of those stats overall are things that you got to upgrade. And, you know, you mentioned this about Pickens, the fact that, you know, maybe, and Kirby Smart said this on Monday, that some of his blocks may not have, you know, quite landed the way that he wanted to, which I'm fine with. Jeff, I said this on yesterday's program. It's better to channel energy than it is to conjure energy. I can't get you off the couch. But if you're running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction, I can point you in a different direction. The fact that Pickens is out there looking for someone to hit, in other words, means everything to me. And I just think from a personality standpoint, he just fits into this program better than some other receivers who have a similar skill set might have.
Yeah, but, you know, the thing you got to remember too with Pickens is, I mean, he has been through every gauntlet in order to get him here. He's went through Cam Newton's 7-on-7 teams for 2 years. He was being thrown to by one Justin Fields. We were watching him way back then. He plays Brandon for one of the 10 biggest and best high school programs in the Southeast, maybe even the country, in Hoover, Alabama. The head coach was always took a very special interest in wide receivers and their blocking. And he just has innate physical gift. The ability to go up and get a ball on anyone. And as we wrote in one of our early preview stories on George Pickens, he somehow has the luxury of a former NFL and current Canadian Football League quarterback that's about 4 or 5 years older than him that has been pressing him up and getting physical with him for the last 5, 6 years of his life to get him ready for these moments that he's experienced on these back-to-back Saturdays.
Let me talk about Nolan for a minute because you brought him up as well. Here's part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider update. You know, a lot of people are going to say when you look at the overall pass rush that was improved on Saturday, more tackles were lost than we're used to seeing from Georgia. You know, once again, there's this temptation, even the part of some Georgia fans who don't want to get out in front of themselves to say, oh, this is just Murray State. Come on, y'all. You know, don't get too excited about this. But, Jeff, you've been watching this team just as closely as I have. I think you would agree with me. The kind of activity in the backfield Georgia showed on Saturday, I don't know if it's right to say they couldn't, but they didn't show that against anybody over the last couple of years. So the fact that, you know, Nolan and Aziz is a redshirt freshman and Jermaine Johnson to a certain extent, the fact that these guys are leading a charge for Georgia defense to be more active in the backfield than we've seen from previous Georgia defenses, I think that's an encouraging sign, despite the fact that Georgia was playing a lowly overmatched opponent this past Saturday. Do you agree?
Yeah, Brandon, I've started to look at those guys as havoc factors. I think maybe the biggest change engine for Georgia creating havoc this year is what they did in upgrading the outside linebacker spots with guys like Johnson, Aziz for a full season, and also Nolan Smith. And I just look and remember and I'm just going to report and reflect what I've seen over the last 3 or 4 years of Kirby Smart's Georgia. They brought in 5-star linebackers before. They brought in All-American linebackers before. But none of those dudes were getting home to the quarterback early like a guy like Nolan and a guy like Jermaine and Aziz have already, especially in games one and game two. And we've even got those Austin Peay games to look at, those Middle Tennessee State games to look at. The things that I thought, Brandon, I don't know, I'm down on the field taking pictures, but I think you might have wanted to punch somebody or just Tiger Woods fist pump in the air in the press box when Trayvon Walker and Nolan Smith both got home on the Murray State passer in their first debut game at Sanford Stadium. And folks, now Brandon just answered that question. He'd rather have the 1,000-yard receiver. But what if there's a script where I can say Georgia can have two guys with 10 sacks going to play about 2 or 3 more seasons at the University of Georgia? Now, that's something you would have to think about.
Well, now you're right about that, and I'll add to this discussion while we're on the subject of freshmen. I undersold Trayvon Walker's ability to contribute for this team as a freshman. I think of defensive line in the SEC being an experienced player's position, but Trayvon right now is a big part of this Georgia defense. Now, obviously, we know over the next couple of years, he's as talented as anyone on the Georgia roster and as anyone that's Kirby Smart's recruited since he's been here. So we know that, but in terms of an immediate impact, I was probably a little bit more, you know, let's not get out in front of ourselves too much on this. But right now, Trayvon Walker is a big part of this defense as a defensive lineman, even as a freshman. And, Jeff, that is an incredibly encouraging sign. Before we let you go, would you mind adding a few more freshmen into this mix of kind of what you saw on Saturday, what you think some Georgia fans might have missed in terms of the overall participation report and kind of who's putting themselves in a position now to play more later on this year?
Yeah, so there's a bunch. One last footnote, Brandon. I would think the projections, the internal Dog Nation World Headquarters projections, they think that Ojolari, Smith, and Walker can get to about 20 sacks this year. Man, that's something to watch for between those three guys. But other freshman names, I hope everybody looked at their DVR copies and got a chance to see Xavier Truss playing a lot at left tackle in that second half against Murray State. There was a point in that game where Georgia had the Tennessee three offensive linemen, defensive linemen together there with Bill Norton getting in the game, Zion Lowe getting in the game, and Tyman Mitchell, the future nose guard, the program in the game as well. You saw Tyreek Stevenson continuing to get a lot of early playing time. He got a lot more playing time in this game because, you know, DJ Daniel was dealing with the hamstring injury. I'm just going to bounce all the way all across the defensive grid right now. Lewis Sean got his first career tackle at Georgia. Did everybody see John Fitzpatrick get his first career catch at Georgia? That one went for 22 yards. And when you saw that thing come up, you just knew that Stetson Bennett was going to find big Fitzmagic hands right there with those gloves and that arm sleeve in the middle of the defensive net right there. And got to end it, Brandon, with Kenny McIntosh. Kenny McIntosh had the leading amount of points for the game with 9. And he got his, you know, you're not an official SEC back until the officials rob you of a touchdown near the boundary on the pylon. And I thought Kenny McIntosh got through the pay dirt there on that touchdown. But he looked very strong, 9 carries, 66 yards, something like that. And for folks like me and Brandon and Connor the Conjurer back there behind the glass that watch a lot of SEC football on Saturdays, I don't see a lot of second or third team running backs in the conference that are already as adept and as skilled as Kenny McIntosh is already.
Yeah, he's a very interesting prospect, to say the least. It's great stuff. Jeff, as part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update, I'll remind folks one more time, check out any tavern in the neighborhood you happen to be in. But next Thursday, the tavern to be in is the one in Peachtree Corners. Thursday, September 19th, for our Marlowe's matchup. Big look ahead to the Notre Dame game that following Saturday. Myself, the legendary former Georgia Bulldog John Stinchcomb, going to be there starting at 6 p.m., It's the address is 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners. Once again, 5210 Town Center Boulevard in Peachtree Corners. Can't wait to see you for our Marlowe's matchup next Thursday, getting ready for the Fighting Irish. Jeff, I look forward to reading a bunch more recruiting stuff from you, whether it be at dognation.com or the forum at forum.dognation.com. We'll just enjoy checking in on your insight as this 2020 class continues to come together. Appreciate you chatting with us here today on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Diemerbach as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider Update.
All right, guys. Have yourself a good week.
Let's take a look around the rest of the league. This is SEC Through.
By the way, speaking of our friends at Diemerbach, our buddy Bob Hayes in our Facebook comment section said he just went to Diemerbach.com and got himself the Diemerbach there. So good stuff. For those who may be watching and checking in, can we show the offer that Bob took advantage of? Diemerbach.com. Now, for those of you listening, radio or podcast, just one, it's D-E-M-E-R, Diemerbach.com/DogNation. It's $50 off the first 100 orders. So I guess now I should say at least 99 because Bob Hayes got his, as he said in the Facebook comment section. So we appreciate y'all checking that out and appreciate Diemerbach, this ultimate kind of outdoor Bluetooth speaker with indestructible carrying case. And, you know, I've always kind of wanted to do one of those, like, infomercials. Maybe one day for the video audience, maybe I'll get, like, a big bat, and I'll just try to, like, beat this thing to see how indestructible it really is and just kind of show that off. I've kind of always wanted to be, like, an infomercial star. I'm sure many of you are probably not surprised to hear me say that. Maybe one day we'll pull that off. We'll hear more from Kirby Smart here coming in just a moment. Also, before that, let me say hello to those of you who may have been with us back in June. We were at Callaway Resort and Gardens. Just a lovely, lovely place, short getaway from Atlanta. And, you know, we're obviously looking for the Notre Dame game next Saturday. But don't forget, Saturday after that, Georgia has got a bye week, which means you want to get in and really enjoy that bye week. No better way to do that in style than right there at Callaway Resort and Gardens. Kind of fall temperatures kicked in by then, relaxing atmosphere. Just a really cool place to hang out and get away and do some really good stuff. There's also a new Fall Adventure Pass. It's an activity pass program that allows you to maximize fun and also savings as well. The Adventure Pass includes bike rental, treetop adventure, tennis time, and shore fishing. It's just $40 plus tax and fees. You can go to CallawayGardens.com to learn more about this. You can also purchase the Callaway Information Center, the Treetop Adventure Course. CallawayGardens.com, though, is the best website to go to find out a whole lot more about that. Really good stuff from our friends at Callaway Resort and Gardens. All right, a couple of SEC through stories to get to. So Jeremy Pruitt yesterday was talking about some players that had gone into the Tennessee transfer portal, and in talking about this, he talked about rats trying to sneak off the Titanic, and pretty much everybody I've seen online that's reacted to this all said the same thing. I'm not quite sure you're looking to make a comparison between your program and the Titanic, given the fact that the Titanic sank to the bottom of the ocean. Now, there is an element of potential accuracy to what Pruitt has to say there, but I'm not quite so sure overall. That feels like the best overall use of this. It's an example of Pruitt as an inexperienced head coach who is just not used to using the media to his advantage. He spoke to reporters some when he was at Georgia, didn't do that obviously at all at Alabama, and listen, I don't care who speaks to reporters and who doesn't. That's not my deal in life. But when it comes to not having experience doing that, when you want to utilize the media as an ally, when you've got, you know, barbarians at the gate trying to criticize you for the 0-2 start, you got to be a little bit smooth-tongued to be able to do that. And Pruitt is just kind of a awkward public speaker. That's going to hurt him a little bit as he tries to rally somebody to be on his side after kind of the rough start for Tennessee. Here's an interesting story. It was insinuated, and I guess it's now been confirmed, at least in terms of if you're going to take Ed Orgeron at his word, I don't know why you would. We talked yesterday about the thrilling LSU win versus Texas. So in the aftermath of this, it becomes known that I guess Texas had working air conditioning in the LSU locker room, but did not have it turned on and had not had it turned on all week long. That LSU, in what was essentially 100-degree temperatures outside, 90-something degrees apparently inside their visitors' locker room for the game against Texas. Now, I can only imagine how miserable this must have been, because the one thing I think you'd always be really surprised about is these visitors' locker rooms in almost every stadium, they're really, really small. These are not gigantic things. 70 players on the road, but the locker room is just barely big enough to hold 70. So you got guys, I mean, it's hard to even get the pads off and stuff in these small rooms. Imagine it now being 90-something degrees. However, there is a part of this for me that kind of feels like if you're the home team, you get to do what you want, and the only thing you got to worry about is retribution coming back against you. You know, and for those of you that like NASCAR, the saying is, how you race is how you get raced. How you treat your visitor's locker room is how people are going to treat the visitor's locker room that you're going to be in there as well. Now, for LSU, there's not as much chance as retribution for that, but in the Big 12, you better believe there is, and if this has been going on, then I think it's fair to have Texas be opened up to the same kind of things. I think that self-policing, generally speaking, is the best way to handle some of this kind of stuff. So I'm not necessarily that mad at Texas for doing this. I think it's a pretty sinister move. I'm not that mad at it. And I think the best punishment for this might be some harsh treatment when they go into an opposing locker room. A couple other stories to get to here. So we talked yesterday about Terry Wilson, the Kentucky quarterback. He is out for the Wildcats, and for Florida, who plays Kentucky in Lexington on Saturday. They've also dealing with a couple serious injuries here too. Now, these are pretty big injuries, and it looks like these guys are, they're, I guess, listed as doubtful, but probably not expected to play. Kadarius Toney, who's dealing with a shoulder injury, and with Felipe Franks, you know, kind of scuffling along the way, expect him to. A dynamic offensive weapon like Toney is potentially a pretty valuable asset here, but it looks like Florida may not have him on Saturday. And then C.J. Henderson, a really good defensive back, is dealing with an ankle. So if you're thinking about Florida, Kentucky, think about two pretty significant injuries potentially impacting the Gators there. We played some audio from Nick Saban earlier in the show. There was also a thing yesterday with Alabama athletic director Greg Byrne complaining about the number of noon starts, which is obviously 11 a.m. local time for Alabama. They've got another one of those coming up here pretty soon. And he said, and I didn't know this, that going back to 2014, they've had more of these than anybody, he says. Believe it or not, I'm actually going to kind of side with Byrne on this. Not so much that he ought to get his way, but the fact that he's speaking up to complain about something he doesn't like with the way his university, his athletic department's being treated, I think is actually a pretty good thing for an athletic director to do. Now, TV controls all of this, and it's understandable that if you get a chance to put Alabama in a noon window, you don't typically get to do that. If they're playing some, weak opponent, obviously there's a chance for you to do that. You know, complaining about that is going to be futile because TV is going to get its way on that. However, as I said before, I think there's something to when you don't like the way your athletic department's being treated, you step up and you offer some resistance to that. You're going to get treated how you're going to get treated anyway. The SEC is going to do what it wants. TV is going to do what it wants. But to go publicly on the record and kind of vouching for the feeling of many of your fans, from Byrne here, I actually don't think that's that bad of a look. Let me also really quickly kind of go through some of the top games for this upcoming Saturday, too. And I use top in air quotes. I think one of the reasons why I'm in kind of a bad mood about Georgia-Arkansas State on Saturday is there's just, after a couple of weeks of kind of fun non-conference games, there's just not a ton going on here this Saturday. Kansas State at Mississippi State, that's coming up. Alabama at South Carolina. I'm a little interested in seeing Alabama on the road. Mike Bobo desperately needs a win. Arkansas is terrible. I guess it's not an awful game. Florida, Kentucky, I'm semi-excited about, at least semi-excited about that game. Ohio State, Indiana, Clemson, Syracuse. You know, those are kind of the games here for this week. So it really gets rolling for a lot of college football next Saturday. But this weekend, it kind of is what it is, a holding pattern for most of the top teams in the country. A couple teams going on the road. You know, Alabama, Ohio State will try to keep pace with each other. But for the most part, not a marquee weekend for college football, UGA included, will make that your SEC through. And I'm pretty quickly running out of show here. I'm not going to end up getting in everything that I wanted to get in. The running back thing I was going to do, I may have to say that for tomorrow. But since Jeff Sintel talked so much about Nolan Smith before, can we at least do this? You know, Kirby complimented George Pickens earlier. We talked about that. Kirby complimented as well the Georgia outside linebacker, Nolan Smith. And it was interesting to hear Jeff, as a part of our Marlowe's Tavern Insider update a moment ago, offer as effusive of praise as he did about the impact this freshman may make on the overall pass rush and havoc rate for UGA. What did Kirby say along those lines yesterday in terms of his feelings about Nolan through two games? Here is Kirby on Nolan Smith.
Nolan's smart. Nolan listens. So when you give Nolan a plan and say, this is the way I want you to rush on this defense, or this is the way I want you to rush on this particular tackle, he does it. He applies what he learns. And he plays with just maximum effort. I mean, he just is like a wild man, hair on fire. I'm never over. And a lot of football is effort. It's not, you know, you can take 10 5-stars and 10 3-stars and you go out there and put one other guy on the team to make 11, and the team that plays hardest usually finds a way to win the game. And that's what Nolan does, man. He plays hard. That makes football important to him. It allows us to play him in a lot of situational football. He's got to continue to do that because he's going to get matched up on better and better, just like this week. He's going to play better tackles than he played last week. So he's got to use his skill set. He's got to use his trade, and he's got to understand how the defense is engineered to make it work.
Now, hold on for a second. Last week, didn't Kirby tell us that he didn't know what a 5-star was, that he had never even heard that phrase? He certainly seemed very well-versed in the fact that Nolan Smith was a 5-star prospect coming into high school there. I'm mostly kidding on that. I think it's pretty funny, and I think it's a good job by Nolan to step in to his career so quickly the way that he has. I think that Jeff's right, that right now what I think of is, and we'll see what the end results end up being, right? We'll see how successful this all ends up being by the end of the year. But thus far, what is certainly a more fun Georgia defense to watch through two games, even against overmatched opponents, a more fun defense to watch is largely being propelled by young players. Redshirt freshman Azeez Ojulari, Nolan Smith, who's all over the place right now and really absorbing everything at a pretty rapid rate. I told Jeff this a minute ago. Trayvon Walker is making a bigger impact through two games in his freshman season than I would have anticipated him making. Even on Saturday, I'm not that excited about Arkansas State. Watching some of these young guys go out and do their thing, that is certainly pretty fun to me. And by the way, something else that's pretty fun here on Dog Nation Daily, presented by Deemer Box, Gator Hater Updater, 1,046 days. We'll see you guys tomorrow.